From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. The focus in this message is Paul's second epistle to Timothy. The apostle was on the verge of death, and he recognized the need for a new generation of preachers to be raised up of God and to carry on the work of the gospel. He realized that the times required young men of the apostolic mold who would guard the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then Paul emphasized the solemn duty of faithful ministers. They must be men who have a personal experience of Jesus Christ, who have a proven experience of God's grace in their lives. They must preach God's word, expounding the scriptures with the confidence that this is the truth of God. Furthermore, it is the duty of faithful ministers to preserve the gospel, to pass it on to the next generation in all its purity and power. The standards of the gospel ministry are very high, calling for men of impeccable character, of dedication to God's work, separated from the world. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message called The Changing of the Guard. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, He with Us, We with Him. The text is Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. There is no doubt about it. The fear of the Lord leads to virtuous habits, and these prevent that waste of life which comes of sin and vice. The holy rest which springs out of faith in the Lord Jesus also greatly helps a man when he is ill. Every physician rejoices to have a patient whose mind is fully at ease. Worry kills, but confidence in God is like a healing medicine. We have, therefore, all the arrangements for long life, and if it be really for our good, we shall see a good old age, and come to our graves as shocks of corn in their season. Let us not be overcome with sudden expectation of death the moment we have a finger ache, but let us rather expect that we may have to work on through a considerable length of days. And what if we should soon be called to the higher sphere? Certainly there would be nothing to deplore in such a summons, but everything to rejoice in. Living or dying, we are the Lord's. If we live, Jesus will be with us. If we die, we shall be with Jesus. The truest lengthening of life is to live while we live, wasting no time, but using every hour for the highest ends. So be it this day.
I shall never hunger, O my
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
Evangelicalism is going more and more into liturgy. I was just thinking of this. There's one thing we can learn from the liturgists, and that is, you go into a Church of England church, for instance, there may be two people in this vast church, the Church of England minister, now calls himself a priest, will stand up and he'll go through the service, he'll go through the liturgy, exactly the same as if there were 1,000 people present. And his attitude is supposed to be, I don't say it always is, but it's supposed to be that this is a divine service and I'm rendering this up as an act of worship to God, and it really doesn't change it whether there are two people or 20,000 people looking on. We could learn something from that. Preaching, listening, singing, praying, giving, all that we do in a service is an offering up of our worship to God. And our surroundings are really peripheral to the matter. But as I thought a little further, I realized why we don't have liturgy as such. Why it is not for the New Testament church to follow that pattern. It's because a minister is not a priest. He is a preacher. He's a pastor. He's a teacher. He's not a sacrificing priest. This, my friend, is the sound doctrine to preach the gospel. And my, how little it is observed today. Now, what does Paul say? He says the good minister must hold fast the gospel. Chapter 1, verse 13. Then chapter 2, verse 2, he must pass it on. Because he says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So first of all, he himself must hold it fast. Then he must pass it on in all its purity to those who are coming after him. Now let me tell you, that is a vital criterion for judging any man's ministry. There are the two things. When my time in this church is over, those are the two things that before God are going to be the standards of judgment. Did I hold fast the gospel? Second, did I pass that gospel on in its undiluted purity to those who are coming after? Paul says that's the duty of the minister. It's going to involve warfare. That's why he says in chapter 2, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's going to involve warfare and much hardness. We read in verse 5 of chapter 4, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist. It's only in this way, as verse 5 ends, that we'll be able to make full proof of our ministry or fulfill the ministry. So that's the duty of the Christian ministers. Very quickly, let me say that the standards for Christian ministers are high. Now, I'm only going to outline this. For this is what we need in our young men who are leaving this place to go and preach the gospel. This is what we need in this pulpit. This is what we need to have right across the church. First of all, the Christian minister, chapter 2, verse 1, is to live out of the gospel of free grace. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's the hardest thing. It's easy to preach grace to somebody else and yet not live it yourself. It's easy to tell other people how grace received by faith is the way to look unto Jesus and meet all the battles and the difficulties of life. But in many ways, the work of a minister so isolates him. He stands before God with a burden of the work to which God has called him upon his heart. If that work prospers, he feels it prospers in spite of him. If that work fails to prosper, he feels it fails to prosper because of him. And that becomes a crushing, soul-destroying burden unless that man knows how to live out the gospel of grace by faith in Jesus Christ. He must be strong in grace. Then he must be separated in his personal life. Chapter 2, verse 4. He must not be entangled with the affairs of this life. The word affairs appears only here. It's the Greek word that gives us the term, the word pragmatic. The man of God must have his, to use the technical term, his praxis. Not in the world, but in the sphere of the Spirit. He's not out of this world, but he's not of it. That's, of course, true of every Christian. He's separated in his personal life. Verses 9 and 10, he must be dedicated in his service. Paul says, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, in order that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul says, I'm suffering, but yet I'm dedicated. The Word of God can never be bound. They can put me in jail, but they can't put the Bible in jail. And he says that because of that, I endure all things for the sake of God's elect, in order that God may through me bring in his elect to the joy of his salvation, dedicated in service. Verse 15, must be diligent in ministering the Word of God. Study to show thyself. The word study means there, be diligent to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, of course, that's the great key text of the dispensationalist. Rightly dividing the word of truth means to divide it up into seven different dispensations with umpteen different gospels and all the rest of it. Well, that's not rightly dividing the word of truth. That is completely wrongly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth is to be able to take this word and apply it to every man in his own situation, to divide this word so as to give to every man what is his due portion. He must be diligent in ministering the word. And then chapter 2 verse 20, he must be a holy vessel in God's house. In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. There's some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. You know, when I was younger, I used to look at that and think that Paul meant that if we purged ourselves, we'd all be vessels of gold or silver. But that's not what he says. In every house, there are vessels. Every great house, not in every house, but in every great house, there are vessels of gold. There are some of silver. But there are some functions in a house for which a golden goblet would be no use. I mean, the next time you need to mop a floor that looks like it's about 14 acres, try to take a golden goblet and see what use it is for holding the water. Not much use at all. There are some things in a great house where the gold, the silver is not much use. And you'll need a vessel of wood or a vessel of earth. It's up to the Lord and his sovereignty to make us the kind of vessels he wants us to be. But we must be vessels unto honor. We must be clean vessels. If a man will purge himself, that's true of the minister. It's true of every Christian indeed who would do anything for God. You must be a vessel that's honoring to God. You look at verse 24. He says there, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle and patient, apt to teach, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. In other words, we have got to put away the things that are going to stand in our way. We must be holy vessels. The standards for the servants of Christ are high. And finally, we can say the rewards are glorious. We have read Paul's final words, verse 6 to verse 8. He says, I am ready to be offered. The day of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Now he's looking forward. I think it was J.C. Ryle who said that Paul could look backward without shame. He could look down into the grave without fear. And he could look upward, and he could look forward without doubt. Here he is. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also which love his appearing. Something very special about this. This is a testimony from the edge of the grave. You know, people can say all sorts of things when they're living. But when you're facing death, it's a very different thing. If your religion's not good enough to die by, then it's not good enough to live by. Paul was dying, and as he faced death, and it was no common death, Paul knew that he was going to put his head on a block, and a great big executioner was going to take an axe, and he was going to strike off his head. Not a pleasant thought, but he knew it. And knowing that that was coming, knowing that at any time it could come, sentence had been passed, he says, I'm ready, and I'm looking forward to heaven. How blessed to be able to finish the course with such joy. And what an encouragement to Timothy and all the other young ministers that they also should be faithful in the gospel. But you know, Paul's testimony to Timothy has a much wider application. It's to all of us. You see, we're all going to die. Some of these days, you're going to die. You've got to face that. Maybe nearer than you think. God only knows if some of you here will even last till this year dies. We're all going to die, preacher included. The big question is, do you have Paul's testimony? Think of this. In this epistle, Paul says he has no fear. Chapter 1, verse 7, he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He says, I have no fear. I'm here at the edge of eternity, and I'm not afraid to meet God. No fear. Now bring that right home to your own conscience today. Death is something that's going to face every one of us. Can you go out to meet the Lord without fear? Then chapter 1, verse 12. He has no shame. He says, I am not ashamed. Think of that. My sin is under the blood. My guilt is purged away. I am justified freely by the grace of God. I have believed the gospel to the saving of my soul. I have committed my life to Christ. I haven't done everything perfectly, but I'm covered by the blood of His atonement and the garment of His righteousness. And I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed before men to stand up for God. And I am not ashamed as I go out to meet my God, because Christ is my righteousness. Is that your testimony?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.